Brothers and sisters, turn with me, please, to John's Gospel once again. I'm going to read the first 11 verses of John's Gospel. We covered verses 1 through 3 last week, and now we're going to basically cover verses 4 through 11. John 15, verses 1 through 11. Listen to God's word, the words of our Savior. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Our Lord and teacher, would you explain to us what you are teaching us here, that we may become fruitful branches in you. Give us obedient and submissive hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, now in this part of his instruction in chapter 15, Jesus has taught us in verses 1 through 3 about the importance of abiding in him as the vine and of the Father as the vine dresser who prunes the vine to make us fruitful. And now in verses 4 through 11, we are taught by Jesus why abiding in him is important. The whole purpose, and I don't know how many times I have encountered it, but over and over and over again, he uses the words, abide in me, abide in me, abide in me, and bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. The purpose of abiding in Christ is to bear fruit. That's why the Father prunes the vine. And that's why we have to remain in Christ, abide in him. Let's ask the text three questions. First, what does Jesus mean when he says, abide in me? The Greek word used here basically means to remain in a vital, life-giving, life-sustaining relationship with the vine, with Christ, the vine. If a branch doesn't stay attached to a vine, say with my wife's tomato plants, if a branch falls off of the vine, it won't produce fruit, and then it's useless. So it's important to remain in a life-giving and life-sustaining relationship with the vine, and for a Christian, that means having a vital, life-giving, and life-sustaining relationship with Christ. Many times we've noticed as we've been studying through this gospel that Jesus uses, or John uses, the phrase in Greek that is translated, believe into Jesus, believe into the Son, believe into me. That's a deliberate use of a phrase that relates to being in Christ, believing into union with Christ. Paul speaks that way in Galatians and Romans of being united with Christ in his death and resurrection, so that what he did in dying and rising again, we did in him. His work became ours. And God looks at us as though we were the ones who died and rose again in payment for our sins. So when Jesus says, abide in me, he means continue. And in fact, the Greek tense actually has an active sense to it. Continue to be united to me in every area of your life. Never live without me. Never live without my influence. And his goal is this, that you think as Jesus thinks, that you feel as Jesus feels, that you will as Jesus wills, that you choose as he chooses. In other words, his goal is that you and I grow more like him. And in fact, less and less like the you and I that we were before Jesus saved us. If you have believed in Jesus, then you, right now, have this vital relationship with Christ that will make you like him in everything. You've been born again. You're no longer dead in your sins. You were alive in him spiritually. In other words, Jesus says, keep it up. Remain vitally connected with me. Resolutely depend upon me for your life. Make the effort in every moment of your day to look to Christ as one you can do nothing without. The only way you can bear fruit is Jesus producing it in you by the work of his Holy Spirit. Remember, he's spoken before of the Spirit being sent to be with his disciples as he was with them. And the Holy Spirit is with us to cause us to produce this fruit. You can be a Christ-like person only if you abide in Christ, only if you have the Holy Spirit working to make it so and make you like Christ. Turn with me again, as we did last week, to Galatians chapter 5. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I want you to look at verses 16 and 17 of Galatians 5 first. He says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You might as well be saying you will not produce the fruit of the flesh, because that's pretty much what Paul is saying. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and so forth. But then more positively, go down to verses 22 through 25. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That's what he means by abiding in him. And the only alternative to abiding in Christ is to become a fruitless vine. You cannot produce fruit unless Jesus produces it in you. Go back to verses 4b and 5. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Are you bearing fruit as a Christian? Do you want to produce fruit as a Christian? Then you must remain in this vital, life-sustaining relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you do not abide in Christ, if you do not remain in Christ, you will be lost for all eternity. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Let's not mince words. He's talking about going to hell. Second question, how do you abide in Christ? And the answer is, you abide in Christ. Look at the first part of verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. You abide in Christ by determining to think as he thinks, to feel as he feels, to choose as he chooses, to see life the world and all things as he sees them. And that means that you must have his words abide in you with a heart commitment to obeying his words. Look at 10a. If you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. It's illustrated in Jesus' own relationship with his Father. Look at verses 9 and 10 together. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you see it? You abide in Christ's love the same way Jesus abides and abided on earth and still abides in his Father's love, by obedience. It's very important that you understand, though, that you're not left on your own to do this. Jesus is not saying, grit your teeth and determine at all costs you're going to beat your body into submission, you're going to do it all, and you're going to force yourself to abide in Christ. No, you are not left on your own to do this. As you seek to abide in Christ, as you seek to keep his word, you pray for the help you need to do it. Look at the second part of verse 7. If you ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. That's prayer. That's prayer. Just as Christ, as he walked the earth and served the Father for 33 years, was in constant communion with the Father for help to be obedient to him to the point of death, so you and I, as believers, need to be like that, in prayer to the Father for help. Do you remember Romans, remember chapter 14, verses 13 through 16? John 14, verses 13 through 16. Let's remind you of that. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Who is this helper? In verse 17, the Spirit of truth. It's the Holy Spirit. Jesus obeyed the Father's word through prayer, and you cannot abide in Christ's word and obey it without prayer yourself. In other words, to be obedient to Christ's commands, you must seek the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. You have a triune workforce in your life. The almighty power of the God who created heaven and earth out of nothing is at work in your life to recreate you in the image, the perfect image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that's why you must seek the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So what Jesus is saying is this. To produce fruit, fruit that will remain, you must abide in him, and his word must abide in you. That means you can't separate yourself from the scriptures. That's why you have to stay in the Bible every day of your life for the rest of your life. And you do this by learning his words and asking in prayer for power of the Holy Spirit to obey his words. And as you do, by the grace of the Spirit, you will produce fruit that will remain forever, fruit that will last. In other words, you will learn to think as Jesus thinks. You will learn to feel as he feels. You will learn to choose as he chooses. You will learn to view all things in all of your life and life in general as Jesus does, to see those things in your life and your life itself as Jesus does, through Jesus' eyes. So we've asked, what does Jesus mean when he says, abide in me? We've gotten the answer. It means being in a vital, life-giving, life-sustaining relationship with Christ, your vine. And how do you abide in Christ? By determining to be like Christ through prayer, so that you can produce fruit with the help and power of the Holy Spirit. But the third question we want to ask is, what does this abiding in Christ look like? Well, first of all, abiding in Christ looks like abiding in, or perhaps more accurately, persevering in Christ's love. Look at verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And notice again, he's using himself as the illustration of how to do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus and do what he did. Jesus loves you just as the Father has loved them, him. Now let that take your breath away. How much did the Father love him? Perfectly. There was no lack of love for him, because when he looked at Jesus, he saw someone he loved eternally. Jesus was sold out to his Father from eternity. And when he became a man, it was his delight to show the Father honor and give the Father praise by obeying him. Well, Jesus loves you in the same way as the Father has loved him. And brethren, if you know that Jesus loves you, you know what? Then you know you're safe. Yes, life can get hard. It can get difficult. Marriages have their trials. Parent-child relationships are difficult. Working for a difficult boss can be a miserable thing. Society looks miserable. Politics can be miserable. But the one thing you know, if Jesus loves you, is that you're safe. He is your safe place. So take this as fundamental in your thinking. In any situation, take it as a given. Jesus loves me, therefore I am safe in his love. So abiding in Christ looks like abiding and persevering in Christ's love and the knowledge that he loves you. Secondly, abiding in Christ looks like obeying his commandments. Look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Notice, you do not do this. You do not obey his commandments so that Jesus will love you, but you obey his commandments because he does love you. You do not do it to be saved, but you obey Jesus' commandments because you are saved. You're just living up to your privileges. You're living as you should live, as you were born again to live. You see, if you never obey Jesus, you know what that says? If you never obey Jesus, if you never want to obey Jesus, that means you do not love him, and therefore you are cut off from him. Remember verse 6? You'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. On one level, it ought to give you concern if you find that you very rarely obey Jesus, because that could be an indication that no matter what you think, you may not have come to Christ and given yourself to him by his grace. You may not have repented of your sin. You may not have understood properly. But I want you to understand this right now, that abiding in Christ, which is something Jesus commands you to do, looks like obeying his commandments because he loves you, because you are saved, and this will increase your assurance of his love. So abiding in Christ looks like abiding and persevering in his love. Abiding in Christ looks like obeying his commandments. And finally, abiding in Christ looks like sharing in his joy at your obedience. Verse 11, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Here's a delightful thought. Your obedience gives Jesus joy. He gave his commandments so you would give him joy. Now, this is an amazing fact of grace. You don't do that. You don't obey him under your own power. You do it in dependence on him. You do it because the Holy Spirit gives you the impulse and the power. But then Jesus says, you kept my commandments. Wonderful. Have you ever watched a toddler get up and walk 3 steps, then fall down? You don't rail at the kid and say, what did you do falling down? You say, yay for you. You did it. You did it. Jesus looks at it in a similar way, only a more exalted way as God. You obey him. It gives him joy. But it's because of his grace, yes. It pleased him to give you grace so that you would obey him. And the return he gets from it is that he is rejoicing in your obedience. You see, your obedience secures the fullness of joy that will culminate in hearing him say to you when you die, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Again, it's by grace. You don't earn it. You do it by the help of the Holy Spirit. But when you do, and when you die and are in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he will look at you and say, because your sins are fully forgiven and paid for, and no longer in his sight, he will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Let me put this more starkly. You are saved for the pleasure of Jesus Christ, and when he is pleased, you will share in his pleasure both in this life and in the life to come. So the question, are you abiding in Christ by his grace? Are you continuing in his love by obeying his commandments? A disobedient Christian is a contradiction in terms. If you love Jesus, you will show the same kind of love to him in your obedience that he has always showed to his Father. That is what he wants. But again, you cannot do this on your own. In the end, it is your love for Jesus, fueled by the Holy Spirit, that will keep you close to him and enable you by his Spirit to repent of your sins and obey him as he wants you to. Abide in Christ then by his help for all your worth. And then your song, "Yes, Jesus loves me," will gain in depth and feeling, and your assurance that he loves you will deepen in its quality. Jesus loves you. He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. So now love him by abiding in him. Rest in his love and so continue in his love that you will go on to continually produce good fruit. And by that he will know that you love him, and he will rejoice in your love as you rejoice in his love, just as he and the Father have rejoiced in and will continue to rejoice in their love for one another for all eternity. Amen. Our Father, this is more than we can take in. We're not capable of reaching to the heights of all of this. But we trust, O Lord, that yes, Jesus loves us because the Bible tells us so. Oh, may we be like little children who believe that with all of our hearts and abide in him and remain in him for the rest of our lives and each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.